हरिओम वॉल्यूम, हरिओम हरिओम वॉल्यूम, हरिओम। कैन यू हियर मी क्लियरली एवरीवेयर? या ऑल दोज हु आर बिलो 40 इयर्स ऑफ एज, आई इनवाइट यू ऑल टू कम इन द फ्रंट एंड सिट डाउन, एंड फॉर दोज ऑफ यू हु वुड लाइक टू कॉल देमसेल्व्स बिलो 40 इयर्स, दे ऑल्सो कैन कम डाउन, सो प्लीज कम ओवर। Below 40 years, banned from using chairs. Come, come in the front, yes. Come, come in the front, don't hesitate. Yeah, don't hesitate. Come, come in the front. Don't, we can take this out. Actually, I don't need this. Can some of you, just someone come here? I don't need this. I don't have any book to, this can go out. Yes, this can go out. See you all better. Hari Om. वक्रतुण्डमहाकाय सूर्यकोटिसमप्रभा निर्विघ्नं कुरु मे देव सर्वकार्येषु सर्वदा। ॐ श्री महागणपतये नमः। सरस्वती नमस्तुभ्यं वरदे कामरूपिणी, विद्यारम्भं करिष्यामि, सिद्धिर्भवतु मे सदा। ॐ श्री महासरस्वत्यै नमः। समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयं नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरम्। ॐ श्री चिन्मयसद्गुरवे नमः। दक्षिणे लक्ष्मणो यस्य, वामे च जनकात्मजा, पुरतो मारुतिर्यस्य, तं वन्दे रघुनन्दनम्। ॐ श्रीरामचन्द्राय नमः। हरि ओम एंड नमस्कार टू एवरीवन। I'm still getting over the stunning beauty of the temple and the art. It's really stunningly beautiful, the idols. It's so beautiful. And that was a really, truly lovely invocation. Wonderful voice. I'm so happy to see a lot of faces I know. Unexpected, and a lot of faces familiar, and completely new people as well. It's always nice to talk to such a big crowd. How many of you are seeing me for the first time? I thought as much. So, quite a few. Very good. I'm happy. Today's topic is, can you hear me clearly at the back as well? Oh, perfect. The next 3 days' topic is going to be a little different in the sense it's not a text. You can't refer to any place where you get. But it's a essence of a lot of texts put together. I'm going to be talking about the three yogas. Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, and Jnana Yoga. Explaining each day the essence of each of them. So before I go into any of the yogas, let's understand the meaning of the word yoga. Very simple, everyone says yoga means what? nowadays yoga means doing asana pranayama. That's about it. No, it comes from the root yuj. Yuj means to unite, union, to connect. So yoga means it's a way of connecting. Now there is something called bhoga and there's something called yoga. And by the way, all of us from Indian origin should definitely not say yoga, yoga, yoga. Okay? What should you say? Yoga, not ga. Okay? What? Yoga, ga, ga. Ga, ille. Ga. Okay? Yoga. Right. So, yoga means to unite. Yoga is union with something which is high, exalted, great. And bhoga is what? Is also uniting. Okay, bhoga is also uniting with something which is not as great as us. In yoga, there is a coming up, a elevation. And in bhoga, there is a coming down. Okay? And understand that in bhoga, there is joy also. In yoga, also there is a joy. In yoga, the joy is a sattvic joy. And in bhoga, the joy is rajasic or tamasic. Have you understood now the difference? What? Whenever something high, something you have enjoyed, which is sense you, makes you a little higher, brings a little deeper knowledge, peace, joy, subtler peace and all, then what are you doing? It could be, and therefore yoga doesn't always have to be something like you connect it to God. You listen to classical music. What happens to you? What happens to you? The mind becomes more subtle, and then you start enjoying, reveling. And you listen to hard rock or metal music. No, they have a metal. What is it called? What? Yeah, whatever. Heavy metal. Oh, that's the word I wanted. Heavy metal. Okay, fine. Yeah. Heavy metal. So you connect, it's not that you don't enjoy it, but what happens to your mind when you listen to that is the thing. You can have this joy also, but the joy also, as the Gita explains, it can be sattvic, rajasic and tamasic. The joy itself is sattvic, rajasic and tamasic. So therefore, in yoga, the joy is what? Sattvic in nature. And in bhoga, the joy is what? Rajasic or tamasic in nature. Yeah? And both of them are there. I mean, you cannot deny the joy of bhoga. You eat a laddu, you think there is no joy? Joy or not joy? Drink a hot cup of coffee, is there joy or not joy? Come on. Yeah, that's why I see every airport, you see long lines in front of the Starbucks. Patiently. Are you ever on this? Deep meditation. Long lines. Everyone's waiting for bhoga. Isn't it true? So the fact is there is joy. You cannot deny the joy. But the joy is what? It's fleeting. It's conditioned. And a lot of other things leaves you more craving and etc. etc. But when you have a sattvic joy, it elevates you. That also binds you in a way, as Gita explains. But yoga is sattvic joy. Bhoga is tamasic and rajasic joy. And both connect you with something. One to something higher. One to something not that great or high. Now, having understood that, yoga also means a path, a way. So yoga is a way of connecting. Okay. Now, in the Hindu scriptures, there are four main yogas talked about. If I had 4 days, I would have talked about all four. But since there are 3 days, I picked up three. So which are the four main yogas talked about? Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Ashtanga Yoga. These are the four main I talked about. Then, of course, there are many, many more yogas. Kriya Yoga and Kundalini Yoga and etc. yogas. And nowadays you can have more ones added. Dancing Yoga, Singing Yoga, Chewing Gum Yoga, etc. You know, anything is possible now, anything. But if you see, in the Bhagavad Gita, every chapter of the Bhagavad Gita is called what? So many different names, no? Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga. And the first one is the most interesting. What is the first chapter called? Arjuna Vishada Yoga. Now, this is what I wanted to draw your attention to. That in life, anything and everything can become a yoga. This is what I wanted to draw your attention to. What? Arjuna Vishada. Vishada means what? Grief and sorrow. Now imagine, grief and sorrow became what? Yoga. You get it? So in life, anything and everything can be made into a means of connecting with the higher. Any problem you have in life, any disappointment, any success, even success should become what? In fact, when we feel that yoga is only when we sit in front of God and do something like what? Puja or some meditation or put our limbs up, down, center or whatever. Then we feel, I'm doing what? Yoga. And the rest of the time, what am I doing? And all, see, and interestingly, bhoga leads to roga. You understand? Does it not? A lot of times, roga means disease. A lot of times, too much of bhoga, lung cancer. Isn't it true? Roga. So, bhoga. Anyway, so what I'm trying to tell you is that every incident in life, or every action in life, be it whatever it is, our scriptures give us a way of making that a means to reach something higher in life. Even fear, that is why the book, Facing Fear is called Abhaya Yoga. You understand? Bhaya Yoga. What is it? Bhaya. Fear connects you to God. It can. When you're really scared, oh Bhagwan, if you save me now, I'll do anything for you. Isn't it true? So anything, any emotion that you have, you could have jealousy, and that is exactly what is said even in bhakti. That even hatred can become what? What? A way of connecting with God. My God. Hatred, yeah. Only it has to get directed to the right place. Kamat krodat bhayat vapi vairabhavena yappunaha. With me, kama, krodha, what? Vairabhava. But you connect it to God. Shishupal, use that yoga. What? Hate yoga. And he hated Bhagavan. And so what happened? Understood? So many times this idea of ours is, you know, and now the fact that we have many paths, these are all different paths to connect yourself to God, something higher. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? Is there a good thing that there are so many paths or bad thing? People get confused because of that. Now, choice, remember the sentence. Choice is a problem to the immature. Do you remember that? What? What? Choice is a problem to the immature. To the mature, choice is not a problem. Choice leads to confusion in many, many people. Is it true or not? Your classic examples are 11th and 12th graders.
they have no idea what they want to do, right? Or even if they have an idea, they really are not sure of anything. After going to college also, they are not sure of anything, right or wrong. A confusion. Why choices? Choices there, no. And if there was only one, we had lesser problems because we had lesser choices when we were in. What? It was either, what? Science, commerce or maths. I mean, what? Arts. Three. One, two, three. And then if you go to the science also, doctor, engineer. Now you have, even in India, you have like innumerable choices. Now what to do? I never find out what I want to do. So choice becomes, so to speak, a problem. Now, sometimes having more choices is a sign of what? Of advancement. Now let me explain this to you. In a country when there is only one brand of soap, and in another country there are 500 brands of soap, which is considered more advanced? Are bolo na. 500. Is it true or not? Why 500? You can choose so many. Oh, this and that. No. Right now, what is happening in your country? You go to any supermarket, any place, you know, what happens? What do you find? You just want to buy a chocolate, okay? And, oh my God. Orange inside, orange on the top, orange this, or only orange part will be like one big section, right? Orange with pineapple, orange with cherries, orange with this, and then this is all with related with chocolate, chocolate, chocolate. So it goes on. So is it a problem? Yes. It's a problem? Yes. In a way, yes. In a way, no. No. So what I'm trying to tell you is that the fact that we have so many paths shows how, what? And now, see, supposing you had only one brand of soap and that didn't suit you. You had allergy. Nowadays, so many allergies are there. Some people have grass allergy. Now, what do you do with that? Nut allergy, grass allergy, this and that and the other. Okay, fine. So, supposing there is only one brand available and you have allergy for it. Now, what do you do? You have problems, right? But if you have one allergy, then you can say, no, I like this one better, you know, this, you know. And it's so amusing many times, you know. They will say, the orange juice over here will be only chemicals. Everywhere, all over the world, the same thing now. The oranges will be only chemical. There's nothing orange about the orange juice except the color also, which is more yellow than orange. And the shampoo will have pure extract of orange. Are ye kya hota hai? Pure extract usme. And usme koi kuch nahi orange, nothing to do with orange. Very interesting. Sometimes, you know, when you read all this, no, actually you don't need more entertainment than the world itself. It's enough entertainment. You just go around and you say, oh wow, great, wonderful. All amusing only, everything. So now, when you have all these, like, let's say all these brands are there. If you have allergy to one, what do you do? You either don't use it at all, or you're in trouble, right? Or you suffer from this. So here, Sanatan Dharma, the Hindu scriptures, provide so many different paths. It's not as many as chocolate brands, but there are a lot of different paths. Why? Because it suits each individual. And you and I have the choice of the path. And it's not that when you are into one path, you can't go to the other path. We can have the path and we can have a permutation and combination of them. This is the beauty. They are not exclusive paths. Is that understood? This is the beauty. They are not exclusive. You can have a permutation and a combination of the paths and you can make your own path. Don't we all like these choices? We go to an Italian restaurant and when they give you things where you can wrap up yourself, you like it better, right or wrong. No? Then you can put this and then a little bit of the salsa and this is that and then the This is exactly what we can do as far as what our different paths are concerned. The practices, the spiritual practices, we can choose. We can, and different times of our life, we can have choose different paths to help us go ahead in life. You understand that? This is another beautiful thing. And in a day also, you can have different paths you follow. Isn't it amazing? Bolo. So if morning my mood is all jnana yoga, I do jnana yoga. Then by evening, I am all inclined towards what? Bhakti. So I do what? Bhakti. You understand that? And in the daytime, I am doing what? Yogasanas and pranayama and all of that. Got it? How nice it is. How beautiful. Sometimes not understanding these basic things, we consider that Sanatan Dharma is all complicated and difficult and choices, and we don't understand. You understand? Nah. This is the glory and this is the beauty of Sanatan Dharma. Don't think of it as a weakness, but the what? Greatness of Sanatan Dharma. Is it okay? All of you have to answer, okay? Because I don't know if you go to sleep, you know. But how do I know? Just because you look at me doesn't mean you're not sleeping. Because some people sleep with their eyes open, right? So this beauty that we have so many paths. And we can, what? Have a permutation and combination of them. However, as I said, the three main paths talked about are what? Or the four main paths talked about are what? Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga, Jnana Yoga, and Ashtanga Yoga. A lot of parts of this is there in the other yogas also. Right? So therefore, we will stick to, and from these four, we will focus on Karma, Bhakti, and Jnana. Because Ashtanga Yoga, as far as the Chinmay Mission is concerned, we have not totally, we don't propound it very rigorously. It's not that we don't practice asana, pranayama or anything like that, but that is not our forte. Our forte is in the other three yogas, which we very, very, the Chinmay Mission is quite an expert in all these three yogas. Now, let's start with what? Karma Yoga. Now, karma is action, yoga is to unite. So to unite with the higher through action is called Karma Yoga. Simple. Achha, by the way, if you have a notepad and a pen and you feel like noting down anything I speak which touches your heart, you may do so. But we were asked to switch off our mobiles, so can we take notes on the mobile? Yes, that is allowed. So put it on airplane mode and take your notes. Is it okay? Fine. But however, no WhatsApping from, or so that's why I said airplane mode. Otherwise, you think, oh, this is very nice, let me share. Tabak, you'll do it. And then they'll say, oh, like, no, I don't want that happening. Okay, no WhatsApping or nothing that happens. No, nothing goes out from your, nothing comes into your. Is it okay? So now, let's start. So karma, yoga, what? The path of yoga means connecting yourself to the higher through action is Karma Yoga. Now, let's talk about what is action first of all. How do actions arise? Now, when do you feel hungry? What is hunger? Desire for to eat, right? And when do you feel hungry? Lack of sugar. Whenever there is emptiness in the stomach, you feel a desire to eat. Is that okay? That's simple, right? The stomach. Sometimes you may be hungry, but if your mind is so occupied with something else, you don't even realize you are hungry, so you don't feel hungry. Now, Swamiji, now that you said hunger, I realize that I am hungry. Till that time, I didn't realize I was hungry.
what happens behind every... And now what will you do after the lecture is over?
You will go if you are hungry. You'll go wherever you can get food, right? It could be home, it could be anywhere.
Now, so behind every action and any action is a desire. Do you agree with me? Any action. Why did you come here, Swamiji? To what?
To know about yoga. Okay, very good.
So there was a desire to know, right? Anything that you do, it doesn't matter the smallest of action that you do, there is a desire behind it. You shift your position also is a desire to be more comfortable, right or wrong? Even a simple thing like that. You flick your, what? You know, or you do this also. Why? There's an irritation to take out this, you know, there's a desire to take out that irritation, whatever it is.
Agreed.
Smallest of action that you do, there is a... Now everyone's becoming more conscious. Any action that you're doing is all, there is a desire behind it. Agreed? Now, when does a desire arise? Is the next question. When does a desire arise? The desire is always has a I want, isn't it? I want. That's called desire. Desire is I want. Okay. So, when do you want something? When you don't have it. Simple. Yeah. So why do you want that thing, whatever be it? Swamiji, if I change my position, I will be more comfortable, meaning I will be more happy. Is it true or not? Behind every desire actually is the desire to be happy. Agreed. You really don't want food. You want what? To take out that discomfort of hunger by eating food, so you will become... Is it true or not? Achha, you have come here for what? Swamiji, knowledge. Now, supposing you get a lot of knowledge, but I make you really miserable with that knowledge. What will you do? Tomorrow, for sure, no one will come, however great the knowledge be. Is it true or not? So basically, what do you want? You want happiness. And if you get it, you'll say, I'll come tomorrow also, I enjoyed. Don't you say that? When you go back and you don't say, I will come tomorrow, I got a lot of knowledge. Nah. What do you say? I'll come tomorrow because I got a lot of what? Happiness. I enjoyed. I tell you, it was so nice. Oh, very good. Otherwise, oh my God, never again. Who? Vimalananda? Never again. Understood? So, behind every action, there is a desire. And behind it, what is a desire? A desire for happiness. Okay? Yes. Now, why do you want happiness? Swamiji, what a question. Huh? Why do you want happiness? Why do you want happiness? Swamiji, we want to be happy. That's why. Are you a... Now, if I know that I am already happiness by my very nature, I already have it, will I want it? Bolo. I won't want it. Why? Because I already have it. So I don't know, and that is why I desire, and that is why I do action. Is it okay? So behind every action is what? Behind every desire is what? Ignorance. Isn't it true? So that is called avidya kama karma. What? Ignorance, desire, action. Now, the point is, okay, ignorance is the root, so you have to take out ignorance. That is fine. That we will deal with jnana yoga. Okay, fine. But now we have, can we live without action? Can we... When all actions stop, what happens? Ram Naam Satya Hai. Isn't it true? Chalo, take the person, go. Finish, over. That's why it says, Gaya. Stop. Stop. Everything, what? All actions? So you have to. Action is the insignia of life. No action means death. So act, we have to. We have no choice in action, do we? morning to night, birth to death. What do we have to do? Something or the other. You have to do. We have no choice. Because if we do action, we may get some result which may be sorrow. So you say, okay, I don't want to do anything only. Because if I do something, I'll be unhappy. So better not to do. Lot of people don't want to get married because they see some people divorce and say, hey, I don't want that. Why? Yeah. So they say, okay. Okay, you don't marry, but some other action you will do or not. Bolo. And then that action may cause sorrow or not. Yeah. So I don't want to do anything. Sometimes people who get depressed do like that. I'm not doing anything. But does that make them happy? At least you will sleep, na? You will eat, na? Eating is an action. Action or not action. And it'll cause sorrow or not. Joy also or not. Yeah. And sleeping is an action or not. Not an action. Action by its very nature tires you. Even a lazy man gets tired of sleeping. Yes or no? He'll get up sometime, go around again, sleep, but he will have to get up. Agreed. So end of the day, act we have to. We have to do action. We have no choice in doing any action. Got it? I have to say it the American way. I've learned it. Got it. I'm learning. I only have to forget it before I go back to India. Otherwise, they'll say, kya ho gaya usko? So, now, if we have to do action, we might as well learn how to do action. So, the right action with the right attitude is called karma yoga. Okay? Let's learn the right way. So what is the right way? The right action with the right attitude is called karma yoga. Got it? Interesting, no? We have to do some action. So might as do it the right way. Yeah? Do it in a way which makes us happy. So therefore, what action? So it says one is the right action and the other thing is what? The right attitude. Both are important. The right action and the right action. Now, what is this right action and what is this right? Now, let's think about that. Okay? Now, draw a chart mentally or if you've got your notepad and pen or whatever. So, action can be divided into two. One is called prohibited actions. Don't steal. I mean, that will come into that, stealing and all of that. No prohibited action. Okay. The other is what? You can, whatever things you can do. Okay. In those actions that you can do also, there are two varieties of action. One is called sakama karma, one is called nishkama karma. Sakama karma means desire prompted action, meaning actions for your selfish purposes. That's called sakama karma. And the other is a desire, and the other is called nishkama, means what? Selfless actions. I'll explain what it is, don't worry. It sounds daunting, but it's not. It's fun. Then in the selfless action, again, you divide into two. One is called nitya karma or daily duties. Duties. And the other is called naimittik karma. Naimittik karma means occasional duties. Duties and occasional duties. Normal duties and occasional duties. Okay, let's put it this way. Normal duties, occasional duties. So it is said, karma yoga says, do these two. Normal duties and daily duties. Doing of these two is called right action. This is one aspect of it. What do you mean by that? Now this duty word na is such a pain to all of us. Agreed? The word itself makes you feel, ugh. Now what are duties? First of all, duties are something that come to us unasked. Because of the position and the stage we are in life. And we have no choice about it. It comes. It just comes. For example, if you are a student. You have to study. Terrible. But no choice. Isn't it true? Some people, you know, want to become students but don't want to study. There is no choice. After you become a student, you have to study. Simple. Got this or not? It comes on us. Because you are a student, so I don't want to study, stop being a student. Got it? Now, you are all right now what? Shrotas. What are shrotas? Audience listen. Now, what is your duty? Now, you can't come here and say, I'm not going to listen. Now, you have to listen, full stop. Because you came and sat here. If you had not come and sat here, then there is no this. Now, you can't become sota, okay? You have to remain what? Everyone got it? I don't allow people to become sotas. You have to be what? Shrota. Why? Because you came here, so you have to sit and listen, full stop. You have no choice. Because you are here. Now, I came and sat here. Now, what? I'm a vakta. I sat on the Vyas Pit and I is this. Now, I have to become what? Vakta. I have to speak. All of a sudden, I said, okay, let me go to meditation. For 10 minutes, you will all sit happily. You know. Then afterwards, what happened? Everyone must go. When I open my eyes, no one will be there in the audience. Isn't it true? So these duties come because of the position that you are in. If you are a parent, you have to do some duties. If you are a daughter or a son, you have to do certain duties. If you are a spouse, you have to do duties. You understand what I mean by that? There is no choice. Depending on the position that you are in, the stage of life that you are in, duties come to us. Full stop. No person in the whole world escapes from duties. Is that okay? No one can. He's not allowed to escape from duties. Is he playing with some game or he's taking notes? Very good. I'm so happy. I want to see them afterwards. What to do? I'm a teacher at heart, Ray. And you know, I've managed 1,000 kids at a time. So few here and there is no big thing for me, but... So it's inside, it's inbuilt in me. So anyway, now, so duties will come unasked, whether you want them or not. And every person, what I'm trying to tell you is every person, it doesn't matter who you are, you will have duties. You are born in a particular country, you grow up there, you are a citizen, you have a duty towards your country, whichever country it is. Is it true or not? You cannot say, I have nothing, what am I to do? No. You are part of this country. You are born over here. You are a citizen of the country. You have a duty, full stop. But I didn't bargain for that. Then stop being a citizen. You become a driver. As a driver, you have a status of being a driver. Now you have your duties or not. Follow road rules, full stop. You understand? No, I don't want to follow rules. Stop being a driver. You get it? So every person, wherever they are, there are duties. And they come unasked. Okay, fine. And then the other thing. Duties are thankless. Will you all get it into your head? And this is something we have not understood. For doing duties, we want to be thanked. And we want to be awarded also on top of it. Are ye to bhad ho gai? Best mom ever. All that. So we want to be thanked. We want it to be. There's no. Duties are thankless. Every day of your life, you will cook for a husband. He will never say thank you. But one day you don't cook, definite problem will be there. Are you understanding? Duties are like that by nature, husband, wife, whatever be it, anyone. Nowadays, I tell all young boys and girls, all of you have to learn cooking. There is no choice now. Absolutely, the boy must know as much cooking as the girl must know. If not more. no choice at all. So, what I'm trying to tell you is that you will never get a thank you for your doing your duties. You will. And if you don't do your duties, definitely you will get a
What? Some gadbad, a punishment or something will be there. You have to pay for it, for not doing your duties. You will be, you know, scolded or, you know, like you will have to pay some cost for it. Something will have to be done for not doing your duty. Agreed? But for doing duty, nothing. And people who keep wanting to be thanked and awarded for their duties. You know, that's why I tell a lot of times, parents have to keep giving children what? Bribes to do their homework. Now, a child who grows up with wanting bribes for doing what he should be doing, what happens? Well, he grows up. And this is duty. Doing your homework is a duty. It's not a thing to be rewarded. But when you keep on growing, you do your homework, I'll give you a chocolate. You do your homework, I'll do this. You do your homework, we'll go for a movie. If you keep on doing that, what happens is this child grows up thinking that the whole world, what? Must reward me, thank me, appreciate me, encourage me to do what? What you're supposed to do anyway. Have you all understood? It's a problem. That child becomes a problem. When they grow up, no one is going to thank you for that. No one is going to award you for that. No one is going to even acknowledge that you have done what you have done. Many times people say, at least they should have said a thank you, if not anything. Is it? I'm not asking for name, fame, but at least a thank you. There's a courtesy of saying thank you. But you were supposed to do so, you did it so. What's the thank you about it? Is it okay? And in this country, thank you is a big thing. You know, little things, no? Thank you. And then this auntie gives this child chocolate. Says, thank you. So the child says, thank you. So nice. Now, interestingly, this thank you for that little chocolate that they gave. And the auntie didn't want the chocolate because she's got diabetes. So she's given that anyway. So, uske liye thank you. I'm not saying don't say thank you. But when they grow big and their parents have done so much for them and they turn around and say, what have you done for me? And they don't even think much about whatever. For so much that your parents did. Daily, for that little chocolate which didn't matter to anyone anyway. Thank you. Eh? And for things that are a phenomenal amount of things that are done for us. What? So that is why I always say, more important than saying thank you is to feel grateful. Do you agree with me? So what we have to teach our children is not to say thank you. Is to what? Feel grateful. That is more important. That counts. That matters. Are you with me? Can I have this small little child come up in the front? Sit with me. Yeah. Yeah. I know you're not that small, but and so you don't like to be called little, but you're big enough to come. Please come. Sit. Good. Right here in the front. Wonderful. So nice to have you here. So, what is needed, you know, is to understand this. What? That duties are what? Thankless. And there are no special rewards for that. For doing it. For not doing, definitely you'll be censured. But for doing it, there is no. You may be given by someone, but that is not a... You don't do it for the sake of... You do your, what do you say, duties, your job, for getting your pay and not for bonuses. Bonuses come by the by, but not for the sake of the bonus. Are you understanding? You're doing it not for the sake of bonus, but for the sake of the pay. Got it? Now, the other thing about duties. See, when you finish doing your duties, what do you feel? If you have your to-do list for a day and you actually finish the last item of it, what do you feel? Ha! Isn't it true? Ah! It's so nice. It gives you a what? A lasting happiness. And when you've not done, what happens? I have to. It's always a tension in your head that I have to do. I have not done. There is a tension. And the more I have not done, piles up, what happens?
Polo. When nothing else is there also, you're not able to enjoy your life because of this pressure of, I have to do, I have not done. Agreed? So you see why, how this important, the right action and doing them unconditionally and doing them regularly, doing it as a rule. There are something called occasional duties. One is your normal from morning to night, the duties that you do. And you have a duty even towards your body of bathing it every day, all these little things, right? What you call daily activities. And then your jobs or whatever else you do as status in life and stature in life. And then you have an occasional, like someone passes away, then you go and visit that person. That's an occasional duty. It's not a daily duty. It's an occasional thing. You know, you have to go one. But when you don't do it, what happens? Okay, what is of priority, the daily or the occasional duty? What should come first? What should you sacrifice for what? Daily duties you should sacrifice for the sake of occasional, or occasional you should sacrifice for the day, sake of daily? Daily should be sacrificed for the sake of occasional. You understand that? Always. That is there, because when someone passes away, you can't say, no, this is my time, I don't have time to go. Nah, you have to make time and you have to go. You understand? So occasional duties always take preferences over daily duties. Okay, fine. Now, so right action is important. The other aspect of right action is also duties according, or choosing the duties according to your aptitude. Now, this is something again which we don't understand. Attitude will come later. But what is the thing is? What? Your aptitude. Now, for example, a person who has an aptitude towards what? Let's say business. And then he joins the defense forces. Now, what to do? Over there, I know of a person, a Gujarati, who have business in their blood, right? Now, he has joined... I know this person. He joined the Air Force, Indian Air Force. He started doing business there. They kicked him out. You can't do business, sorry. This is not the place for doing your business. You understand? You get my point? So if you have the aptitude towards doing a particular thing, that job, then and you choose your profession also according to that, then what happens? That's the right action for you. Have you understood? The right action not only means your duties, but choosing your duties according to your what? Aptitudes. Just choosing your profession, choosing your work according to your aptitude. And many times... I tell you, I was told 80% of the people of America, I'm sure the same figures are there, most places in the world, are not happy in their jobs. This is what research has said. Here, everything goes by research. So research has said what? 80%. Meaning you've chosen a profession which is not of your, what? Aptitude. Can you imagine you just could not make this simple choice? Are you understanding? Isn't it amazing? That you make your choice. I know over here, this thing is there that you can get up and go. I would prefer if someone just goes before, you know, get yourself settled, you know, before the talk. And I think 1.5 hours we can all manage without going here and there. This is another thing. Ye idhar ka hai, America ka. Until you have real serious problems. Why? Deir ghante mein kya hota hai? Kuch nahi hota hai. But... I'm talking, I'm really dry in this. That's okay, otherwise. Anyway, now. So, see, the aptitude is extremely important. And now we find most people are not getting this right. And therefore, there's a lot of frustration in their what? Action. And then naturally, if your aptitude is not there, then your duties will not be with full heart. Agreed? And if you're doing your duties according to your own aptitudes, then it's like a fish taking to water. You love it. You know, you do anything to, you know, accomplish whatever you want to. Why? Because it's of your aptitude. You just, you know, for hours and hours you can do without feeling tired. Otherwise, duties become what? A burden, a labor, a pain. And then you feel, khatam ho gaya. Someone said it very beautifully. If you really have the right, you know, aptitude and the attitude for your job. It is no more a job. You never have to go for a job any day of your life because it is not a J-O-B, it's a J-O-Y. Have you understood that? Then you'll never have to go to work ever because it's only, you're going for what? The joy of your life. Got it? So what should you choose? The right aptitude. Then the job also should be with your right aptitude, you do that job. Then it's fantastic. Okay? So, where were we? The right aptitude and your duty also. Now comes the attitude part. Okay? Because many times people talk of karma yoga only as attitude. But they don't understand that this also is karma yoga. Now we go to what? The right attitude behind action. Very, very important. So, two main things are talked about as karma yoga. Number one, at the time of doing action, an attitude of dedication. What is it? It's called arpana buddhi. What? Attitude. So, what do? For the sake of a higher goal, you sacrifice your ego and your selfishness. And you do it with love, you do it with interest, you do it with full efficiency, and you are all doing it for the sake of something which is what? Higher. Then it becomes karma yoga. Now I'll give you a simple thing, examples, very, very beautiful examples are there. And what happens because of that? The best in you comes out. You act out of inspiration rather than as a burden. You understand that? Duties otherwise become a burden. Enough is enough. You know, for anyone, whoever much you love, no, sometimes you feel bas enough ho gaya. But when there is inspiration, you never say bas enough ho gaya. Have you understood this point? When there is inspiration. Now let me explain this to you. Guruji only used to give this example. It's really funny also. He says it in a very, you know, humorous way. He stayed in the house of a person in Lucknow. And that person was quite a nice and, you know, very good people and all that. And he used to, as a brahmachari, once it so happened that family had to go out of town, so they could not take Guruji to the railway station and drop him. So Guruji said, don't worry, you go and I will go. The driver was there, he will drop you. Okay, fine. So Guruji went. And as he was going, the driver, elderly man, he said, Brahmachariji, once I have driven Mahatma Gandhi in this car. And he was talking with so much of pride and all that, you know, Mahatma Gandhiji baithe the and this, that. And when they reached the station, Guruji was talking and how he felt, etc., etc., he was talking. So when they reached the railway station, he was looking very expectantly at Guruji. So Guruji realized he wants a tip. So something, bakshis in this. So Guruji said, did Gandhiji give you a tip? He said, what are you talking? It was a privilege to drive him. If he had given even anything, I would not have taken. How can I take? Oh, driving him himself was the greatest of privilege. Have you all understood now what is called karma yoga? When you do it with this attitude of dedication, the action itself becomes a privilege. It does not become a job anymore. You understand that? And there's no inner expectation. The doing itself is a fulfillment by itself. Are you understanding this? And the other thing, it brings out, this attitude of dedication brings out the best in us. Brings out the best. It's my favorite story. You know, Birbal, Akbar, all of them, you know them. Yeah. Now, in the court of Akbar was a very, very great, you know, one of the nine jewels was Tansen. Have you heard of Tansen? Tansen was a great, great musician, for those of you who have not. Tansen. And he was so good. I mean, I tell you, I wish we could know what greatness of music existed in the country and does exist also, but not as much as, you know, it was. That Tansen, and remember that time there were no mics and, I mean, amplifiers and all that. You just talked with your voice. That's, I mean, you sang with your voice. And he, when he used to sing Rag Todi, have you heard of Todi Rag? Rag Todi, the glass anywhere was there, it would break. Can you imagine that? When he would sing Rag Malhar, it would rain. You imagine the control of that voice over nature. Now also, you can break glass. You have these big rocks, rock show, those big amplifiers, and put them inside the room and then play it. Every eardrums, of course, will break, but a lot of other glasses will also break. You can break things now. But this is through machines. They did it with their what? Voice. Can you imagine that power, that command over that raga and the swara? And I can't even think of it. Anyway, once Tansen was singing, and Akbar was, you know, he says, this is too good. I mean, I don't think in the world anyone can sing like you. And Tansen said, Jahapana, my guru sings better than me. Hari Baba is at a much greater level of singing. So he says, bring him to court. Immediately king, na? He says, sorry, he won't come to court. He won't come here. If you want to listen to him, you have to go. And he was a great patron of music. So he says, okay, we'll go. You take me. He says, no, but there is no, your chariot won't go. This won't go. It's in the forest somewhere he stays. He says, doesn't matter. I'll walk. So he walked. He went into the forest where they kept going. And far, all inside the forest, there was a small little kutia. And sitting on the verandas, this person was singing. And from far away, both of them, Tansen and Akbar saw, and they heard him singing. And Akbar just stood in that spot, rooted in the spot, just went into a trance, just listening to this guy. When he stopped singing, Akbar came out of his trance and is asking Birbal, is this Hari Baba that you were talking about? He says, yeah. He says, he is just too good. In the middle of the forest, he sings. There's no audience at all. And he just sings so great. How does he sing so well? How come you don't sing like him? I give you all the facilities and you've got everything going your way. How come you don't sing as great? You know the answer that he gave? He says, I sing to please you. He sings to please God. Have you understood? I sing to please you. The higher the altar of dedication, the greater is the potential that comes out of you. The greater is the inspiration, and the greater is your potential that manifests. Have you understood that? So therefore, this is called the altar of dedication. If you have that altar of dedication, that small little petty things won't matter. Someone said no, someone said thank you, someone said insult, all that is immaterial. I am pleasing my big boss. All small bosses, if they are happy, very good, not happy, Ram Ram. You understand that? Because my dedication is towards something higher. And all our likes and dislikes go away when you are trying to this. Let me give an example. You know, when I was in the ashram, I know waking up in the morning is difficult. When I was at home, I used to wake up at 6 or 7 or something like that. But in the ashram, we used to wake up at, 4 o'clock. So initially you go and it's difficult to wake up at 4 o'clock. Now the only reason I used to wake up at 4 o'clock was, not because I wanted to and I would be, let's go. No, because I loved Guruji. And I did not want him to be disappointed. Not he would come to find out whether you're awake or not. But I didn't want him to be disappointed that here is a person, is a student who doesn't wake up on time. So my like for sleep was put aside for the sake of what? Pleasing someone higher. Is that okay? A simple thing. Because you have some higher person or higher altar, what happens? Your individual likes and dislike, and this I won't do, this I will do, and whatever you want, anything. I know people, you know, if Gurudev used to ask for a glass of water, my God, that person even now says, I took him, I took a glass of water. And what's the big thing about taking a glass of water for someone? But they will say, and I took a glass of water and he drank and all, and he looked at me. That itself is so much. You feel so privileged by, I'm taking. Got it? And if someone else tells you glass of water, take it yourself. To Gurudev, you will not say, I take it. Of course, I will get a glass of water for you. Got the difference in the action? The attitude? This is called the attitude of dedication. And the other is called the attitude of cheerful acceptance. What is the meaning of that? It is otherwise called prasada buddhi. What is it called? Supposing I give you prasada from the temple, you do a puja and then you have a prasada. How will you take it? Show me how you take it. Isn't it like that? This attitude is called svikara buddha, this mudra. You take it like this. You don't grab prasada. I hope you don't. Another thing. This phrase is really interesting. Grab a sandwich, grab a, everything, grab, grab. Why do you want to grab food? It's so innocent. It is not doing anything to you. Why do you want to grab it? Everyone talks, let me grab a sandwich. I want grab a sandwich. That fool, Anna Brahma. Anna is Brahma. Don't grab Brahma. It's the attitude behind eating that shows, when you say grab a sandwich. At least don't use such phrases, if not anything. Because the phrase shows an attitude. Is it true or not? Don't grab at food, please. You're all rich people. You don't have to grab. Poor people don't have anything, grab food. Okay. You're all enough money you have to. Why do you have to grab food? Don't grab it. Okay. Now, anyway, I'm just saying, this is the attitude with which you what? Take prasad. Now, when you get prasad, let's say you got a laddu or something. When you got it, what do you do first? What are you supposed to do? Not what you do, but what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to what? Give it to others, isn't it? And in the end, even if you get a little bit, you're happy. Tirupati Balaji Laddu. You don't say Laddu, you say Tirupati Laddu. Tirupati. Isn't it true? You don't say, first you keep for me this month, then distribute. I hope you don't do that. And the person, they do it, which is not the right thing. They have the prasad, this kept away, and everyone takes the prasad. You're not supposed to take prasad. You're supposed to be given prasad. Will you remember that? Bolo. Don't do like that. It's kept here, take it. Take it and go. Yeah, don't do that. Make someone stand and what? You understand? Supposing it's all mixed dry fruits and all. I don't like this. You can't do that. Whatever comes, you take. Whatever given is what you take. And then you distribute it to others. And then when you take, you feel, very good. Then you don't say, this is bad prasad. There is nothing called bad prasad. Is that okay? Prasad is prasad. Our attitude should be like that. One person, he went to Guruvayur. Guruvayur, have you heard of him? Krishna temple is there, Guruvayur. So, he was a Gujarati. And Gujarati thinks every prasad means food. We can't think of prasad which is not food. I think others also, all of you think like that only. No, prasad means food. Prasad is not necessary food. So anyway, he went to this Guruvayur. And then they gave chandan tablet as prasad. Now he thought it was a peda because it looked yellow and all this nice. So what happened? Immediately Krishna, pat! He put it in his mouth. If you have eaten chandan, it's not very tasty. Now what to do? What will he do? Will he spit it out? No, prasad. With prasad, you can throw it. You got the idea? This is the attitude is that, prasad, whatever it is, you take it with a smile. Whatever, it doesn't matter what it is. Now, for that prasad, we have this attitude. For the temple prasad, when we do... See, acha, when you take the thing from the from the market, you buy pedas or whatever you buy, you only say, you know, 1 kilo of pedha, 1 kilo of Mysore pak or whatever it is. And then you take it and then you put it in front of God. So, only after it's put near God, it becomes prasad. Is it true or not? You don't buy prasad from the market, can you? Some people say this is, and people use funny phrases, I tell you. They'll say, today's prasad is mine. Arewa, arewa, tu bhagwan ban gaya kya? Don't people say like that? Today's prasad is mine. What my, your prasad? Who wants your prasad? You're not God or something that you, I bless the food, now eat. There is no such thing, you know. You sponsored. That's why we should not say, I bought prasad. You can't buy prasad. You buy naivedya. When it is offered, it becomes what? Naivedya. And after it's taken back from God, it's called what? Prasad. Is it okay? When it's offered also, that time it becomes, otherwise it's normal food. Then it's offered, it becomes naivedya. And when you get it back, it becomes prasad. Is it okay? So when you have done that, we have offered the action to God, when you get the result of action, it is called prasad. Is that okay? So all actions, at the time of doing action, the attitude should be what? Dedication. And when you are receiving the results, this should be what? Prasada buddhi. Got it? So whatever comes, good, bad, ugly, it is prasad. That's exactly what Mirabai did. When she got what? Poison from her husband sent it. She says, no, whatever comes to my life does not come from a husband or a wife or anyone. It comes from God. And therefore, if it comes from God, it is only Amrita. It cannot be anything else. And she drank it. And what happened? You know, her attitude. It's prasad. It's God's prasad, full stop. So we are able to maintain this attitude when we take the temple prasad. But we are not able to accept this attitude when anything and everything happens in our life. Is it true or not? But if we can maintain this attitude, whatever happens, cheerful acceptance of the result, even if it is the president election. Swamiji, that is very difficult to accept. Swamiji, still we have not. We are waiting. Maybe in January something will happen and somehow or the other it will get over, and now someday not. Understood? What? Cheerful acceptance. But Swami, some things are very difficult. But I did not choose. Whether you chose or not, that's what you got. Okay. Everyone. This is difficult. I'm not saying it's very easy. Now, there's 1 more minute. Shall I tell you a story which will make it into a few more minutes extra? Because there's 1 more minute left. If I tell you the story, it will go to a few more minutes. Is it okay? Yes. Accepted? Now, I have to ask you, na? Cheerful acceptance. Very good. I like that. Very good. You're learning. Quick learning. Right. Now, you know, a man, he was a businessman, and he had a cook. And this cook used to sing as he would cook, now he would sing. Now, once this businessman, a rich guy, he had a great musician as a friend, very great musician of that land. So he came to his place one day for dinner. And they were sitting and chatting, and this cook was singing in the kitchen. But you know, musicians have a very sharp ear, so anywhere there's music immediately. So he said, who is singing? My cook is there. He sings as he does. And I don't mind him singing. Why? Because he cooks very well. So what if he feels like singing, let him sing, doesn't matter. He's quite pleasant also, but doesn't matter. But he cooks really well. He's so good. You see how much. He says, no, I want to listen to his singing. He says, arey bhai, wo to kuch nahi gaata hai, arey, what is? Nee, I want to. You call him here and you ask him to sing for me. So he says, okay. So he called him and says, arey, thodi thoda ga ke dikhao. Just sing for this man. He's a good singer. He's a great singer. Jara ga ke dikhao. So this fellow had not even heard, the cook hadn't even heard of him. So he says, okay. And he started singing. He thought very good. No, his boss never wanted to listen to him. You know. So now this year he's getting an audience. He was very happy. He sang with full gusto. And that musician said, this guy is a genius. He can be trained to become a greatest of great musicians. So this businessman is saying, why? What? You're talking this guy? Yeah. So he says, if you give me this cook of yours, I will make him a great singer. He says, you want a cook, I think that's why you're taking. No, I want to make him a singer. You give me this guy. So now he was very reluctant. Why? Because he was going to lose a good cook. He says, but now this guy, great guy, is saying and all that. Now how to say no? He says, "Achha, tu ja, iske saath ja, and you go become a singer." The cook was so happy that he got to sing. You know, he got to, and he was trained, and then years passed by, and then one day he became a great singer. The cook became a great singer, and then he came what to that same town where this, the businessman was there, and the businessman heard that he's become, and he got a special pass in the front seat to listen to this guy and all. So he went, not that he understood much of music, but anyway he went and all, and he said, and the whole audience, they said, wow, great singer and all. And then he says, I'm coming to your place tomorrow for dinner. So he says, okay, definitely. So he came and he says, look, you allow me to cook. I'm remembering those good old days when I used to, what? Cook for you, you know. So it was so nice and so fulfilling. Me, give me a chance. I want to cook for you. No, you're a big man now. What? No, I've got another cook. He also cooks very well. No. Give me a chance. I want to cook, you know. So he went into the kitchen and he was cooking. And as he was cooking, he was singing. Now, what a difference. First, it was a cook singing. Now it was a singer cooking. Have you understood now? What? First it was a cook singing, and now it is a singer cooking. Got it? Similarly, all of us, we, with this attitude now of becoming what? Prasad Buddhi, you have to have this attitude of becoming a bhakta or a karma yogi. Now, karma yogi, very difficult. Now we are more sansaris trying karma yoga. And with practice, what will we become? We will become karma yogis doing sansara. Have you understood that? That's what we must aim for. What? Now we are what? Sansaris trying karma yoga. And what are we supposed to become? Karma yogis doing sansara. Agaya? Good. So now we have a little bit of karma yoga we have seen. Not but little bit. But good enough to start off. Okay, so tomorrow, good. Okay, Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi.